Everybody said amen. Commissioned, anointed, and we are created for the supernatural. We've been emphasizing the last several Friday nights on the ministry of the supernatural and how we can participate in being used by the Holy Spirit in the area of the supernatural. And so I want to go over, especially tonight, giving us some understanding of what the gospel of the kingdom of God is and how the gospel of the kingdom of God is meant to be manifested even in this day and in this hour. So let's look at our notes, the introduction. Let's read that together. God's dream is to have a people on the earth who represent Him as heaven's ambassadors and operate with the authority of the kingdom of God. When Jesus commissioned His disciples, He purposed that they would take what they had received from Him and pass it on to upcoming generations. The disciples were raised for the specific purpose of being the hands, the feet, the heart, and the mouthpiece of the Lord Jesus. Jesus came for the purpose of destroying the works of the devil, and He intended that His followers who believed in Him would also operate in the same miraculous power that He Himself operated in. We understand from Scripture that the same commission that Christ gave to His disciples, He also meant for all of us to receive and walk in as well. Today, we live in a day and an hour where there is an urgent need. How many of you sense the urgent need for the supernatural to be manifested? Amen. We are in an urgent need for the supernatural to be manifested. Because if not, then how different are we then from all other religions and all other creeds and all other faiths? If we don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst, if we're not a people that have evidence of our faith and evidence of a life that is led by the Spirit of God, if we are a people that do not have evidence that we are controlled and ruled by the Spirit of God in our everyday living, then we're no different than other religions or other faiths or other belief systems. So we must have the presence of God. That was the cry of Moses. Moses said to the Lord, do not send us into this wilderness. Do not send us any further on this journey. He's speaking to the Lord on the mountain. He says, unless you guarantee me that your presence and your spirit is going to go with us. Moses wanted to know for sure. He even says, how will we be distinguished? That was the exact phrase he said. How will we be distinguished from all the peoples of the land? We're not going to be any different unless your presence goes with us. Amen? And of course, the presence, when you have the presence, you have the power, you have the anointing, you have the glory, you have signs and wonders, you have the miracles of God. So, we are in a desperate need. There's an urgent need for the supernatural to be in operation and also to be in manifestation. The church must step up to the plate and she must walk in the fullness of her inheritance. God's miraculous power is part of that inheritance. And so therefore, we have to understand and believe that we were made for miracles. Number one, we must understand and know the gospel of the kingdom. And what I mean by that is that the gospel of Jesus that He taught and He ministered and that He preached was not a powerless gospel. Amen? As a matter of fact, turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians. And let's look at what Paul has to say about the gospel in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says this in verse number 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of Jesus. In other words, Paul's gospel or Paul's preaching was not just words. We have tons. I mean, you could turn on the Christian television and you have preacher after preacher after preacher. And thank God for the preaching of the gospel. But listen to the difference between Paul and those kind of preachers. Paul says this, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He says, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. He's just a normal man. and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of man's wisdom. I think that's the problem that we have in the Western church, is that we have a gospel or we have a ministries that like to use persuasive words of man's wisdom. In other words, we like to use strategies. We like to study the crowd. We like to study demographics to see how we can move the people. We like to have smoke, special lighting systems. We like to have special music. And I'm not saying those things are wrong, but many preachers think that they need to have that to capture an audience. Paul didn't have any of that. Jesus didn't have any of that. The disciples didn't have any of that. And if you look at the great preachers, the great revivalists of the past, in the 17 and 1800s, and even in recent days, they didn't have any of that stuff. But what they did have is they had the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, Paul goes on to say this, "Here's my preaching, my speech was not with persuasive words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." My preaching was proved because it had demonstration. We need demonstration. Amen? And we're not just talking about demonstration in church services. We're talking about believers believing that God can manifest through them, and then you having demonstration in the workplace. You having demonstration, you know, wherever you find yourself. You know, there have been several times where I've prayed for sick people in hospital. I mean, not just in hospitals, but on airplanes as I'm flying. Pray for people, lay hands, you know. I remember on several occasions where packed planes and I would feel an unction to go and pray, and I would actually have to, I would go stand up and, you know, in front of everybody, you just got to overcome that fear and, you know, and just begin to pray for people. I remember one time in Ecuador, you know, it wasn't Ecuador, it was in Colombia. It was on my way to coming back from a city called Ibagué to Bogota. It was a packed bus, and the Lord, you know, just before the bus came into the terminal, it was a four-hour bus ride. The Lord impressed me to stand up in front of that bus and in the bus and actually begin to preach and share Jesus. And so, you know, we have to understand that, you know, the power of God and our witness and testimony is not just meant for Sundays. Amen? Paul says that we are an epistle of God written on the heart. And so primarily our lives, the greatest witness and the greatest testimony that we give to people is not walking around saying, "I'm a Christian, can I pray for you?" Although that's part of it. But the greatest testimony is a transformed life. So when the Spirit of God is upon an individual, that life is, they live differently. They don't live like the world. I'm not saying they don't have troubles and they don't go through things. But what I'm saying is that we live differently because we're a distinguished people. Peter says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness." Amen? We're a people that have been called out to live in the marvelous light. We're a people that are called to have a demonstration of the power of God in a changed life and people who live in faith. And this was the kind of life that Paul had. So he makes it very, very clear that his preaching, his ministry was in demonstration of the Spirit of God. Number one, how he lived. And number two, demonstrated also in his ministry and demonstrated in his preaching. Because the gospel that Jesus preached was a gospel of power. Look at your notes, if you will. Matthew chapter 4, point A. Matthew 4, verse 23 and 24. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues." Watch this. "Preaching the gospel of the kingdom." You see that? "Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all of Syria." What was it about Jesus that caused his fame to go all out? His words had power. His teaching had authority. And his teaching had results. And therefore, his word went out. It went throughout all of Syria. And so the Bible says his fame went throughout all of Syria. And they brought to him all the sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. I'm telling you, the gospel of Christ has power. It has authority. And one, the reason why we've been feeling to really emphasize on this is because I believe that our nation, there's a lot, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of turmoil, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of anxiety. I mean, Jay and I were talking earlier, and how he, Chris and I were talking earlier, and Chris was telling me how in his area of field, he works in the medical field, is that correct? Works in the medical field, and they're constantly, the number of people that are living in fear, the number of people that are being controlled by anxiety and stress because of the circumstances of life, the spiritual atmosphere that is beginning to transform, that affects society. People are now starting to, it's affecting people's mindset, the way they think, the way they live, the way they react, the way they're responding to life situations. Church, it's only going to get darker. Look at Isaiah chapter 60 with me for a second. Isaiah chapter 60. This is where we're going, and so we've got to be a people of the Spirit. We have to be a people that are ruled and controlled by the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of grace. Look at Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. See that? God's glory is going to rise upon us, even in the midst of darkness, because verse 2 says, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth. You see that? Darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness. It's not just darkness, it's going to be deep darkness. I mean, the days that we're stepping into, the prophetic hour that we're walking into, I mean, we see it even in our nation. We're starting to see this, a lot more fear and turmoil, but in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the deep darkness, Spirit of light and glory is going to come upon the people who live in faith. Amen? That is dependent on how you and I respond. How we respond to the circumstances that's going to affect all of us, each and every one of us. It's only going to get worse in this nation. But at the same time, God's releasing a spirit of faith, a spirit of peace. Jesus says, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. That's what Jesus is talking about, a time where fear and turmoil. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about putting together a couple of messages on the different spirits that are going to affect the end time. The end time generation. Deception is a huge one. Delusion. Did you know that God sends a spirit of delusion? He sends it. God sends a spirit of delusion because they would not love the truth. And so we've got to understand that the hour that we're entering in is going to be trying times. But in the midst of that, the Bible says that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. There's a spirit of grace that the Holy Spirit is releasing in this hour for those who will trust Him and will operate in faith. And to that I say, amen. Look at the top of your page 2 of your notes. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And notice, again it says there in Matthew 9:35, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Wherever you find the gospel of Jesus Christ preached in the New Testament, it was always manifested with power. It was manifested with the Holy Spirit, breaking in and bringing forth freedom and deliverance. And I gave you some other verses there in your notes for you to look up, references to the gospel of the kingdom of God. But one of the key things that we have seen over in America, even in the Western church over the last several centuries that has affected, that came, that eventually started slipping in the third or fourth century, the church in the third or fourth century began to replace the power of God and its reliance on the Holy Spirit with hierarchy. They began to structure the church so much that they did not have to rely upon the Holy Spirit as much. And as a result of that, over the centuries, We became an organized structure, an organism, run by the leadership of men. You know, creating institutions that did not rely heavily at all upon the person, the work, or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Even in our own nation, in America, I mean, you have several different denominations that place no value at all on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Though they preach the gospel, though they have massive denominations and massive churches, massive church structures, but there's very little power to no power in many of these religious organizations. Why is that? Because over the centuries, there has been layers of teachings filled with unbelief. To the point now that we don't, you go to the most churches in America, you step into an average church, you're not going to hear preaching that relies heavily on the anointing, the gifts, or the presence in the person of the Holy Spirit. Many men, I'm not saying that there's a good number of churches that do, but there are many churches, the majority of them do not. And the churches that do really don't equip and train their people to operate in that. They just educate them. Education is important, but I believe opportunities. And I love what Enrique is going to eat. I heard him announce he's going out later on to the streets. He goes, I don't care if I'm the only one. I'm bringing a camera with me, but I'm going to pray for the sick. I'm going to look for people who are sick. And then I'm going to challenge people to receive Jesus. So I love that. I love that the Lord is, you know, placing upon our hearts that we've got to not only be equipped, but understand that the anointing is for today and it's for you. It's for each and every single one of us. It's not for those who are just called into full-time ministry. In point C, Jesus says this. He made it very, very clear and very, very plain what the purpose of the anointing was and what it's for. Jesus says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Stop there. How many of you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Raise your hands. Okay, just about every single one of you. That means you've experienced Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. When Jesus said to the disciples, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And then in Acts chapter 2 it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God came upon them. That means we've experienced that. But Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, in other words, here's a reason why He's upon me. And if this is the reason why the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, this is the reason why He's come upon us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. Now, the word anointing, you know what the word anointing means? It means to rub in with oil. To rub with oil. So in other words, you have been rubbed in with spiritual oil. That's how we can translate that. Jesus says, I've been rubbed upon with the oil of the Spirit for what purpose? To preach the gospel. That's why we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To preach the gospel to the poor. Watch this. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim freedom, or in other words, deliverance. I mean, how clearer can we get? The Scripture is clear. The purpose of the anointing, the purpose of having the oil of the Holy Spirit is to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast devils out, bring freedom and liberty to people. And this is why the Holy Ghost is not given to us to have spiritual picnics. And for us to be able to say, oh, I got a dose of the ghost. But to be able to say, I got some feeling of, you know, the fire of God. That's not why we receive the Holy Spirit. You know, Acts chapter 1, look, go to Acts 1 verse 8. I mean, here's what Jesus says the purpose of the baptism is for. I mean, it's clear in Scripture. He says, you shall receive. He didn't say, well, you know, if you're good enough, if you've been saved long enough. I mean, my Bible teaches me that they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on day one. On day one. They didn't have to go through all this training to receive the Holy Spirit. The reason why we need training today is to undo all these layers of unbelief and wrong doctrine. But in the New Testament, the people when they receive Jesus. Hey, have you received the baptism? We've never even. Oh, then receive it right now. Boom, they receive it right there and then. You shall receive power. That's a promise. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. The purpose of having power, the Holy Spirit should be a witness. That word witness in the Greek means to be a martyr. A martyr. In other words, live your life like you're dead to yourself. And a life to God. And if that means we give up our physical life, well then so be it. We become physical martyrs. But you know what? If we're true witnesses, we're willing to be dead to our desires, dead to our choices, and we're alive to the voice of God for His will for our lives. You're called to be a witness. You're called to be a living martyr for Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost comes upon dead flesh. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Ghost comes upon those who are called to be dead. That's why the Spirit of God came upon Jesus, and that's the purpose of why He's given us the Holy Spirit. Point number two. Therefore, we've been commissioned by Jesus and anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus told His disciples, stay in Jerusalem. In other words, I don't want you going out doing ministry without power. I don't want... that would be like Him saying to us today, I don't want you going on the internet and just joining some kind of religious organization that's going to promise you some ordination paperwork so you can say you're a preacher. What He's saying is, the proof is going to be in the pudding. You're going to have power in your life. You're going to prophesy. You're going to hear the voice of power. And I don't want to paint a picture to make you think that power has to be just miracles. No, it's a part of it. Power is living a victorious life. Power is being able to speak under divine inspiration. Power is a life of victory over sin. Power is the life where, you know, you allow the peace of God to flood your life even when tragedy hits. Power is when you go through rough times and difficult times and you mess up and you trip up, you pick yourself up and you brush the dust off of you and you continue. That's the kind of witness that our nation needs. Your workplace needs to see believers who have the power of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power, He said. He said in point A, Luke 24:49. Jesus says, behold, I send you the promise. You notice it's a promise, guys. We have a right to walk in this. I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I love how the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, talking about John the Baptist, the Bible says that John was in the deserts with an S. In other words, there are many deserts that sometimes we have to go through. And the Bible says John was in the deserts of Judea until the day of his manifestation. God has a day ordained for us where we manifest. The manifestation of God comes alive inside of us. But you know what? He's saying to us, stay in my training program until the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Amen? For these disciples, it was 10 days after some say it was a year and a half, some say 2 years, 3 years of being around the ministry of Jesus, whatever that time frame was. Let's say it was a year and a half. And then after His resurrection, Jesus spent another 40 days with them. And after the 40 days, He said to them, go to Jerusalem and don't leave the city. In other words, don't preach, don't minister, don't lay hands on anybody until you get the Holy Ghost. You had the power because I was with you. But now I'm gone. And now I'm going to come again through the Spirit. Stay in the city until you get the power of the Holy Spirit. And they stayed. They cried out. You know the rest of the story. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They were filled. The place was shaken. And of course, 3,000 people got saved that day as the power of God came upon them. Sometimes I believe that many of us, although we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need to get rebaptized in the Spirit of God. That's scriptural. Based upon decisions, based upon things that we open ourselves up to, based upon, you know, situations we go through, we always need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need a continual filling of the Holy Ghost over and over and over again. Point B, the disciples were well trained in the ministry. They were also trained well on how to operate in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave them opportunities to minister in power by stretching their faith and sending them out to do the work of the ministry. I remember one of the first times that, can I tell you how I got trained in the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Here's one of the first times, I'll never forget it. I was sitting on a platform, about 5,000 people sitting in front of me, and I was one of about 10 pastors on this platform. Pastor Benny was, you know, of course, he'd have about 5 pastors on one side and 5 on the other side. I usually sat on the left side of the stage, second seat there. And one Sunday night, power of the Holy Spirit is flowing. He says, "Carlos, come up here, brother." And I come down. He goes, "I want you to go to the right side of the sanctuary. And there's a person with a, I can't remember what it was, back problem or whatever it was, or a neck problem. Go find him." And I thought to myself, go find him? How am I going to do that? And, you know, but you just, in that presence, you just don't question. You just go out there and do it anyway. And so I was like, "Yes, sir." So as I'm going, I'm like, "Oh, God." I'm thinking to myself, "Help me. Please, Holy Spirit. I'm going to look like a fool if I don't find somebody." So I remember going up the aisle, you know, and I'm trying to make myself feel sensitive. And all of a sudden, I get to a certain row, and I feel the Holy Spirit say, "Stop." And so then, therefore, I just said in faith, "Is there somebody here right now that you have that condition?" And it happened to be the person right in front of me. And then that was a huge lesson to me. So one of the things that I've noticed that when I minister, and I, especially when I'm traveling, I'm going to say about 9 out of 10 times, 90% this happens. When I get a word of knowledge, and, you know, I could be speaking, I could be standing right here preaching, and all of a sudden I get a word of knowledge. And if I call that word of knowledge, there's somebody here with a right knee problem, it's usually right here in this area. I find that over and over and over again. At altar calls, many, many times at altar calls, I'll get a word of knowledge. And when I speak the word of knowledge, is there somebody here with a right shoulder condition? It's usually somebody right there in front of the people that already come down for the altar call. And so this is how I learned, was he pushed me out there. My first overseas trip with Pastor Benny was to Colombia, Bogota, Colombia. And so he was doing four nights of healing services. There's about maybe 2,000-3,000 people in the building, something like that. And so we're sitting on the stage, and, you know, he just got done ministering and preaching. And then he says this, "Tomorrow night, miracles are going to take place. Blind eyes are going to open up." I'll never forget this. "Blind eyes are going to open up. Deaf ears will be open up. And tomorrow night, Carlos, you're preaching." I said, "What did you say?" He put me right on the spot. And I'll tell you what, I did not sleep at all that night. I laid down in bed. "Oh, God, give me a word. Oh, God, I've never done this, Lord." But that's what Pastor Ben, he pushed me. He began to throw me out there. And that's, you know, it made me rely on the Holy Spirit more than ever. And so, therefore, that's exactly what Jesus did with his disciples. He says, "You know what? Hey, boys, I'm going to send you guys out." And he would send them out two by two. He says, go cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. "Freely you have received, now freely give." Matthew 10:6. "Freely you've received, now freely go and give." Amen. You've received something. I have received something. We should step out in faith. Let me tell you something. We're all going to make mistakes. We're going to mess it up. And, you know, is there somebody here with a neck condition? Nobody? Oh, okay. You may think you missed it. And sometimes we may miss it. But this is how, you know, what's his name? What's the guy that's coming in next month or something? Todd. Anyone ever heard of Todd White? Okay. Todd White's coming here. When's he coming? Monday what? Monday night, May 6th, Todd White. This guy is world known. This guy is radical. I mean, he prayed, watch this. He prayed over 1,000 people, laid hands and prayed for about 1,000 people out in the streets, never saw one miracle. 1,001 or whatever that was. Boom. Major miracles. And ever since then, I mean, it's crazy. Look up the word, look up Todd White healing, and you'll see videos all over YouTube how God used him with signs, wonders, and miracles. And he's an everyday guy. He's got dreads. He wears crazy clothes. But the power of God is all over that young man. He's only been saved for like 8 or 9 years, something like that. He knows the Holy Spirit, and he knows the power of God. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you to step out in faith in the workplace. When you hear somebody, you see somebody, a coworker of yours, and they're really, they look discouraged and down. Ask them, what's going on? Well, you okay? Oh, you know, my child is really, can I pray for your child? Step out in faith and offer a prayer. Step out in faith and just offer prayer. You will see that God will do awesome, awesome things. He will do awesome things because he's looking for witnesses. He's looking for a witness of the gospel. The gospel we've seen already here tonight is meant to carry power. You have the power. Jesus says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You're going to receive the power manifested through the Word of God. Manifested through you stepping out in faith and praying for the people. Jesus trained his disciples, put them out there, and he told them to stretch your faith and believe. Look at the bottom of your notes there. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others. Notice that. It wasn't just the 12 apostles. 70 others. They were just disciples. He appointed 70 others also, and he sent them out two by two before his face into every city and every place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, heal the sick there. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near unto you. As a matter of fact, I want you to go to Luke 10. Let's finish that story and let's look at that. Are you getting something out of this tonight? Luke in chapter 10. I pray that tonight, even if we may not have many sick people here at home, we may not have anybody sick here tonight. If you are, we'll pray for you. But I pray that you will be provoked. Your faith will be stirred. Your faith will be provoked to be a witness, to be the mouthpiece of the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 10. So we see Jesus tell his disciples, these 70 disciples go out there. They go out there, and then all of a sudden, they come back. They come back and they begin to testify. Look at verse number 17. Luke 10, verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy. In other words, they came back to give their praise reports. I saw the praise report. We were having praise reports tonight. Praise reports are good because praise reports give evidence of God. They give evidence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These 70 come back and they're giving their praise reports. And they look at the praise reports. They come back saying, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Oh, hallelujah. Even devils were. Jesus, we went out there and devils were subject to us in your name. Again, the last time I spoke here on a Friday night, about 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the power of the name of Jesus. You'll never know the power of the anointing of God unless you step out in faith and test it and try it. Let's calculate here. 1 + 1 + 1 is what? 3, right? 3, okay. So, 1, you're saved. 2, you got the Holy Ghost. 3, you got the gospel. 4, you'll have results. Simple addition. You're saved. Baptized, you get the gospel, you'll have miracles. Step out. You see a need? Step out. Offer prayer. Offer prayer in Jesus' name. And when you pray, pray in the name of Jesus. When these 70 went out and they came back, they said, even the devils, the demons were subject to us in your name. You got the power of the name of Jesus. Someone turn to your neighbor. It's time to preach the name of Jesus. Tell somebody that. We're going to see that over and over and over again. Look at your notes. Point C. Matthew 28. Jesus says this. All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. And he says, therefore, go. Therefore, go. Because he's got authority. Go. And the assurance at the bottom of that scripture, it says this. I will all and lo, I am with you always. We have the assurance that He is with us as we go. Mark 16. Look at this one. Verse 15 through 20. Jesus said to them, go. You want to know why I go? I feel like I'm in a season right now of going. I mean, just in the next couple of months alone, I will be in Ecuador. I will be in Mexico. And I'm going to be also in Colombia. And then we just got it. And also Dominican Republic. Four nations in the next 3 months. I believe the Lord has opened doors for OHOP to be able to now have an international focus. Can someone say amen? We want to, if you want to go on one of those ministry trips, just let me know. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have an informational meeting. I believe it's going to be the next week or two. We will announce it this coming Sunday. We're going to have an informational meeting to start training people to go with us overseas, and we're going to see the power of God operate there as well. But we need to see it here in Orlando, in your workplace, in your home, in your life. When your kid gets sick, don't just run to the medicine cabinet right away. Get the best medicine out there. Get the Word of God out there and get some anointing oil. And do what the Bible says. Anoint with oil, lay hands, and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen? That's what we should do. But we don't try it. We don't test it. And something we just say, oh, well, I just let Pastor so-and-so, let this evangelist do it. No, you do it. You're called to do it. Jesus says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Watch this. And these signs. Look at this. So Jesus says, if you go, if you open your mouth, you will have signs that will follow those who believe. I think that we have a lot of going, but very little faith. I think there's a lot of evangelism with little to no faith. Now, they may have a lot of faith for salvation, but they have little faith in the power of the gospel. And they have very little results. Enrique just had a dream of, he was out there somewhere in the streets, and that he was looking at someone. What they have in the dream? They had a deformed face, completely deformed face. And he said that in the dream, he felt the power of God. He actually felt it in his physical body while he was sleeping. But he saw himself in the dream, approach this person that has a deformed face. And he declared to everybody, I believe you were out in the streets, weren't you? Out in the streets. And he declared with a loud voice, anybody here want to see a miracle? And a crowd began to gather. Basically, he was challenging the spirit of infirmity. He was challenging the forces of darkness. And he called out, anybody want to see a miracle? And a crowd gathered, and with boldness and faith, he spoke healing in the name of Jesus, and that person was instantly healed in the dream. So he tells me tonight, I'm going to go out there, I'm just going to do that. I'm going to find a sick person, and then I'm going to say, anybody want to see a miracle tonight? Do you know what that is?
Faith.
Faith in the gospel. Not just the gospel of salvation for souls, but faith in the gospel of deliverance and faith in the gospel of the miraculous. Amen? We need to believe. Hear me now. You ever heard the term full gospel? We need to believe the full gospel. Not just the gospel for saving souls. Because the word salvation does not just mean salvation of the soul. The word salvation, which is sozo, S-O-Z-O, means salvation, wholeness, it means healing, it means deliverance, it means freedom, it means completeness. That's what the word salvation means. That's what the name Jesus means. The name Jesus is salvation. And His name is wholeness. His name is healing. His name is deliverance. His name is freedom. That's who we believe in. And this gospel is about Him. And Jesus says, if you go, if you preach, you will have signs following you. And He says, in my name. In my name, you will cast out demons. How many of you want to have a ministry of casting out devils? How many of you know some devil-struck people? In my name, you will cast out demons. In my name, you will speak with new tongues. In my name, if you drink any deadly thing, or if the enemy snaps at you or bites you, it's not going to hurt you. In my name, you're going to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Do you see that? Church, we're not on our own. If we step out in faith, God will use us. He will anoint us. Number three, almost done here. God has not changed his mind. In other words, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His method of salvation and his method of bringing about the kingdom of God upon the earth has not changed. What we need to do is simply preach the gospel of the message of the kingdom of God. We need to have two main things. We need to repent and believe. That's it. Repent and believe, because Jesus said, turn the page over. Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, he said, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, the time is fulfilled. In other words, the time is now. The time is now, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. Church, many of us have repented, but not many of us truly believe the fullness of the gospel. We believe in a partial message of the gospel. I mean, there are countless and hundreds of thousands of believers all over America, if not millions of believers all across America. They believe in God. They believe that they're saved, but they have no evidence of the power of God in their lives. What a tragedy. Because we don't believe in the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus looked for men to train, and in this day and this hour, the Spirit of God is looking for men and women to train as well. To send out, to fill with His Holy Spirit, and to empower. Last point. Point number four, if I can have the worship team come forward. We were created to walk in the miraculous. Do you believe that? We were created to walk in the miraculous. And I wrote down several verses here that give you from both the Old and New Testament, and I want you to notice in each of these verses what they have to promise us. Look at the first one, Psalm 110. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of his power. I believe that we are building up to a crescendo where there's going to be a clash of two kingdoms. There's always been a clash of two kingdoms, but I am telling you, we're seeing a greater struggle, a greater warfare. How many of you feel it? You can just feel it in the spirit realm. It's going to grow to a crescendo, to a climax. And in that day, in that hour, God has a plan. The plan is, at the right moment, I'm going to send my son. But it's not just going to happen all of a sudden, and he just showed up and we get the power. No, it builds up. We're going to have a manifestation of the power of God, and we're going to be his volunteers, the ones he's going to use, building up to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to be, it says one more time, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. Oh, church, that means you and I. God is looking for vessels. The Holy Spirit is looking for men, women, young and old alike, that will be used in a powerful way in that day and in that hour. Point B, the prophet Daniel said this when he prophesied about the end times. He said that there'll be a people in the end times who will do great exploits. Daniel chapter 11, 32 says this, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people, there's a crescendo I'm talking about. There's going to be a corruption of people, a wickedness of people. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you, there's going to be a baptism of fire upon the believer that's going to keep them strong to be able to resist darkness, resist the pull of compromise and the seduction of deception. There's major deception out there. Major. You know, I don't want to speak anything against certain specific religious leaders, but you know, it's a tragedy that you hear all of a sudden you're starting to hear major leaders in the church that are saying, we're going to have an interfaith service. How can you have a worship service with people who believe in Jesus and people who believe in Muhammad or Allah? You can't. There's no such thing as interfaith services. Can you imagine Paul saying, yes, let's have an interfaith service with those believers of Buddha. Let's do some yoga together. Let's do some humming together. I don't think so. There was no compromise in the early church. We're going to have a people. There's going to be a distinguishment between those who made covenant with darkness, those who made covenant with righteousness. There's going to be a people. And even within the church, within the body of Christ, God's going to separate even within the church. Those who compromise and those who really are hungry. Notice that Daniel says, the people who know their God. Those who know God. Those who are walking intimately with Him. Those who fellowship with God. Those that commune with God. Those that obey God. To know God means to know somebody intimately. The people that know God in that day, in that hour, they're going to do great exploits. Circle the word volunteers. They're in that scripture in Psalm 110. But circle also in Daniel 11:32 the words great exploits. Point C. Glory to God. Point C. Jesus said that we would even do greater works than He Himself had done, which includes operating in the Holy Spirit. He said in John 14:12, He said, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these shall he do. Circle the words, greater works. You got volunteers. You got great exploits. You got greater works. Church, this is a promise that we have a right to claim and believe God for. Point D, Jesus promised that we would receive power from heaven once the Holy Spirit would come upon us. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. Circle the words, receive power. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you can say amen? How many of you can say, yes, Lord, I want to be your volunteer. Yes, Lord, I want to do great exploits. Yes, Lord, I want the greater works. Yes, Lord, I am believing, Father, for receiving power because of the Holy Spirit upon me. And last one, as we close, the believer is promised not only power. Now, this is a beautiful church. Look at this. The believer is promised not only power, but authority in the kingdom of God. As we learn to walk in victory on this side of eternity. Revelation 2:26. This is Jesus speaking about the end times. In that day and that hour, he says, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I give him power over the nations. Circle power over the nations. That means you're going to have influence. You're going to have authority. Because you've learned to walk in victory on this side of eternity. Jesus says, I'm going to give to those who overcome. You've got to be an overcomer. And we need some overcomers that are able to shed light on the compromise that's taking place all around us. I just want you to stand to your feet right now. And you just tell your neighbor, this is my hour of power. Amen? Tell your neighbor, this is my hour of power. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just thank the Lord for a second. Come on, if you're going to raise your voice and thank Him right now. How many of you are stirred here tonight? How many of you are stirred to believe? Amen? Let's begin to thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that you are calling us in this hour to be used mightily of you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we're hungry for you. We desire you, oh God. And we say in Jesus' name, Lord, let this be the hour, Holy Spirit, you fall upon us. Let this be the hour where you are provoking us. You're stirring us up, Lord, to believe for greater works. In Jesus' name. Oh, let's lift up our hands and just believe in faith. Let's connect with the Spirit of God right now. Spirit of God, just anoint us afresh tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, anoint us tonight, Lord. If you need a breakthrough in your life, I believe that God's going to give it to you tonight. If you need a miracle in your life, you begin to ask the Lord right now for it.
With your holy anointing.
Yes, Lord, your holy anointing tonight, Jesus.
Would you come, the Holy Spirit? Well, I believe you live inside of me. And I believe you want to use me. You desire to make yourself known.
Do it, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
How many of you can say, I need the Lord to touch me tonight? Is there anyone physically sick here tonight? You're sick in body. Anyone at all? We're all healthy people. Well, that's a good sign. We're all healthy people. Amen. Well, here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to get in groups of three or four. I want you guys to begin praying for each other right now. So just let's break up in groups of three or four. And let's ask the Lord to minister to us, to bless us, to anoint us afresh. In Jesus' name. So come on, let's break up in groups of three or four. Over each other and ask the Lord to anoint you guys. Begin to call down heaven right now and say, Lord, anoint us in the name of Jesus. I want to just release you to lay hands on each other. I know you're holding hands right now. I'm talking about laying hands on one another. Ministering to one another. Let's begin to call that down right now. I could easily have you come forward and you get in line and I just lay. But you know what? You got, let the Lord use you, one another. So ask each other, what needs do you have? And then begin to lay hands on each other and begin to release the anointing of God. So begin to talk to one another. Ask the Lord to do that in Jesus' name.
Love your presence. We love your Holy Spirit. Love with you, we can do all things.